Thank you, John. Thank you, Chuck. Great music this morning. I think we need to give him a hand. What do you think? You know, I have big shoes to fill this morning. I knew Kevin would appreciate that, so I thought I'd get it out there right away this morning. I am so glad to be here with you this morning. It is a personal pleasure for me to be here, to be able to preach the Word of God, to be able to teach the Word of God, to be able to explore the Word of God with you. Now, Kevin and I talked about this series of messages, and he decided he'd give me justice. Now, I don't know what that really meant, but I have justice, and then, as he said in the little clip there, he'll finish the series of messages when he returns next week. And really neat to have the Blackwood brothers here. They're a great group, so I think you guys will really enjoy Palm Sunday in a special way. So I'm glad to be here this morning bringing the Word to you. The Word is important on several different levels, because we need to know, as believers of God, how that all works. And justice is a huge part of that. So as we begin this morning, I'd like to give a little example of justice. A family went out to eat at a restaurant, and a six-year-old boy was asked to say the blessing. As they bowed their heads, he said, "God is great. God is good. Thank you for this food. And I would even thank you more, God, if Mom bought us some ice cream after dinner with liberty and justice for all." Now, it did have chuckles like that went all across the restaurant. But then, over a little ways, was an elderly lady who said this: "That's what's wrong with this country. Kids don't know how to pray. Asking for ice cream. Why, I never." Tears welled up in the little boy's eyes. And he looks at Mommy and he says, "Mommy, Mommy, did I do something wrong? Did I make God mad?" And of course, Mommy said, "No, you did a great job of praying." And just about as Mommy had finished getting those words out of her mouth, an elderly gentleman rode up to him and said, "You know, I think God really thought you did a great job on that prayer." The little boy said, "Really?" "Yes, and I cross my heart. I know he thinks you did a good job." And then he kind of winked. The elderly man winked at the older woman and said, "Too bad she never asked for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes." Of course, Mom bought ice cream for everyone. Well, when the little boy got the ice cream in front of him, he looked at it for a moment and he said, said in his mind, So he slipped away from this booth, took it over to the elderly lady, and with a big smile on his face, "This is for you. Sometimes a little ice cream is good for your soul, and my soul is good already." You see, folks, that's justice, isn't it? That's justice. Justice in the highest form. When we go out into the community, we have Jesus Christ to represent. If we see little people praying, if we see people doing things, we should be praising them when they're trying to do things like the little boy did. But I'm afraid we don't. And that's what we have to work on, friends. As we begin now, our thoughts on justice. We need to, first of all, define justice. Justice refers to the rule of divine law, both in punishing evildoers and giving the weak and the helpless their due. You see, God punishes sin. Joel mentioned that in his little message to us a while ago. God punishes sin. But what happens? He forgives us for our sin. And then we forget about this backside of this when we start thinking about helping the weak and the helpless. So we shall say, we must say, God is just. We're saying that He does what is right. He is the author and the origin of all moral truth. He judges humankind, and in rendering justice or judgment, He brings justice to our lives. This doesn't mean that God will always be predictable. Justice means loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And it's rooted in the character and nature of God. As God is just and loving, so we are called to be people who are just and loving. How are you doing with that? How am I doing with that? Are we just and loving people? I'm going to stop right there this morning, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue with this message this morning on justice, now more than ever, in our world today, that's looking for help. They're seeking out people who are real. They're seeking out people that love you. Not just talk about loving you, but to actually love you. Help us to be one of those kind of people. One that is just and loving. One that's not critical, but just and loving. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'd like to take you on a little trip on something that we always cringe at least I always have, during this time of the year. And that's going to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross with you. I'd like to have you take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32. And then we're going to drop down further into the bed of the message of that scripture. And we're going to look at 39 to 43, starting with verse 32. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. So you see the stage is set, right? The stage is set. It's not just Jesus up there. It's two other men who are criminals. The Bible says they are criminals. Now we're going to drop down to verse 39. And we're going to see two different people talking here. And we're going to see how this all works out for justice sake. 39. One of the criminals beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself. Now, I want to stop there a minute. Prove it by saving yourself. Now, what he's trying to say to Jesus, say, okay, save yourself. Now, if he was truly somebody that cared about the other person, he wouldn't add the kicker to it. Now, listen to the kicker. Prove it by saving yourself. Oh, and us too, while you're at it. You ever have anything happen like that to you? Well, it's okay to do it this way as long as it's done that way. If you do this, I'll do that. That's the criminal. That's the first criminal. Now, he's sentenced to die, folks. He does have a choice. And what did he choose? He made the wrong choice. Now, it doesn't end there. That's why I like this portion of Scripture so much. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? And listen to this. This guy must have known something about Jesus, because he said he did not deserve to die. He didn't deserve it. And this is the criminal speaking, the one that's getting ready to die, the second one. And he says he hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, what was the reply with all of that? It was an interesting reply by Jesus. Today, not tomorrow or not 5 seconds later, but now. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And now, what does that say to you and me, or what should that say to you and me? You better be ready. God has great things for you. This guy was a criminal. He knew he was a criminal. He even said it to the other criminal that he was a criminal, but you didn't get it over here. The first guy didn't get it. The second guy got it. And what took place then? Salvation took place. The man gave it his all. And Jesus said, I assure you, today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, now let's look at Jesus for a minute. Jesus was in agony. He was in pain. He had the whole weight of the world on his shoulders. Hey, by the way, he had your sin and my sin on his shoulders. But what did he do? It goes all the way and he says, today you will be with me in paradise. See, he cares about you, friends. He cares about you. But you have to make the commitment to him, just like the criminal on the cross. One got it, one didn't. One was forgiven, one wasn't, because he didn't ask for forgiveness. That's justice, by the way. That's justice. As we continue to explore the justice of God, we see that God is love, yet he does not ignore sin. R.C. Sproul observed, if life is to be meaningful, there must be a God who ensures justice. And the Bible provides the basis for justice. Social justice comes from God's character. He is the standard of what is right. This is why Jesus embraced the powerless. He invested in people who had nothing to give in return. When a criminal is set free on a technicality, we're outraged, aren't we? We want to yell at the judge, Your Honor, I object. You know, I wanted to say that. I actually did say it. I object. Yet the criminal will one day stand before another judge. God's justice is invincible because he is just. There will be a day of judgment, and we will all stand before God. Every one of us. Every one of us will have to stand before the throne of God. Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things we've done while in the body, whether good or bad. For believers, this will be a day of reward, to be welcomed, not feared. The idea of a future judgment is either ignored or mocked by the world. But one day it's going to happen. One day it will happen. God's justice goes beyond the question of whether actions are legal. A nation cannot be ruled by God if there's no God involved. We see it in our world today. It's sad to see what's happening across our world. There are evil rulers everywhere. They don't ever break the law because they set the law. They don't ever break it. You know, the greatest evil comes from people who are convinced they are God, or that there isn't any God. And folks, they're out there. And my prayer and your prayer should be that somehow they find the God that we know, that we love, that we cherish. Divine justice is about what is moral, not merely what is legal. God's law, the Bible, is a document detailing His justice, God's justice. God's law library has only one volume. It would be inconsistent if God established right and wrong and then kept us in the dark, unaware, and guided only by guesswork. A just God reveals what is right. And in so doing, we are left without an excuse. And what do I mean by that? We are responsible for what we do. We have to take ownership in what we do, what we say, how we go about it. Remember the little lady. A just God reveals what is right, and in doing so, we are left with no excuse. We know what justice looks like. To argue it would be better world if all cared about others sounds reasonable, and everybody seems to like that thought, but do we do it? It's really nice to say we're going to help this person, going to help that person, but do we do it? See, we're not morally obligated to care about anyone but ourselves if there are no moral absolutes. Psalm 146, verse 7, describes God as one who executes justice for the oppressed. We may be quick to condemn evildoers, but are we lifting up the oppressed, helping the poor and the disadvantaged? Are we caring for other people's needs? Do we care about other people? Do we care about what their needs are? Being charitable to the powerless is being God-like. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. God gives us a desire for justice and requires justice in human relationships. Justice demands that we love our neighbor as ourselves. How are you doing with that? How am I doing with that? The parable of Good Samaritan teaches us that our neighbor is anyone in need. That's who your neighbor is, anyone in need. Many people today right here in the Danville area, there's many people who are being unjustly harmed, persecuted in many ways. Are we willing to help? Are we willing to step out and be Jesus for them? We must not ignore the plight of the needy. We must not turn our backs. We must help others in and about us. In summary this morning, I want you to understand this. God's justice is not like our justice. In fact, the Bible is very explicit about that. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." So what is that scripture? How does that scripture talk to you? He loves us all. He loves you. He loves me. He gives us all the chances to come to him and to work with him and allow him to come to you and you to him. He sees no sin worse than another. He says his love extends to all, even as we hesitate to accept him. This last week, I heard a song that absolutely moved my inner being. And I'm going to share the chorus with you right now. Hear the words. "The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Anyone may come there, for there is no cost. Rich man or poor man, bonded or free, the ground was leveled that day at Calvary." As we continue to travel through this Lenten season and on to Resurrection Sunday, let's remember the ground is level at the foot of Calvary.